Talk Shoe. Recorded live.
Well, yes, I can't believe it. Recorded live. By the way, that's the voice of Dave Nelson, the founder of Talk Shoe many years ago. He probably has a long white beard now, but it was always fun to listen to Dave's voice back in the old days. Chuck Bartok back here again for now, the 353rd episode of You Can Build It, Your Business, which has been kind of off the air for a couple of years. And I really appreciate over this past few years that there have been many of you around the world that have downloaded episodes, and I hope that they have been helpful to you in building your own business. Ideas shared by our callers over the years have been magnificent, and we've tried to keep things on task each show. Each show, of course, has a different topic. And if you go all the way back to the original shows, back episode number one and on through to probably episode 80 or 90, they are focused on the basic rudiments of starting a business from the ground up, regardless the venue you choose. And this show has had callers from brick-and-mortar stores, service professionals, doctors, attorneys, because, you know, it's all business, folks. And what happened as we evolved, as years went on, we started talking about marketing techniques and how the internet can be a benefit to businesses regardless of their venue again, whether you're a manufacturer, a professional service provider, a brick-and-mortar retail store, a gas station, a restaurant. It just doesn't matter. An author, an artist, a marketer, a person who wants to be an affiliate marketer on the internet, and so on. So, again, that's what this show is about, and I'm very happy to be back. And I have two people on the call already. One of them is someone we introduced in some of our blurbs around the social media world, and that's Jack Humphrey from Indiana. And the other person on the call is an old friend. Not old. She's not old. I am. but a blast from the past, Joyce
Green.
Yeah,
there you go.
And Joyce, are you still up in the Northwest?
I totally am. I wouldn't leave here for the world, man.
Well, you chose a good place to live, and I know that I've watched you. We've had a lot of conversations on this show about the things that you've done and doing, and I haven't caught up with your history, but if we hang out, we'll probably find out. Jack Humphrey, tell us a little bit about yourself, sir.
Oh, boy. Wow.
In 1 minute, Jack.
No. How long do we have? Well, this is a two-hour show, right?
No, well, it's as long as Shirley's going to let us be on.
It all started in 1968.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No, I'm Jack Humphrey. I am the CEO of Brick Road Media and several other partnerships and software and information products and consulting. And I've been doing this since 1998. And I came online when Google did. And I was one of the first three people to crack the first very archaic Google algorithm and its preference for links.
Oh.
So, and of those three people, one was in Russia, one was in Canada, and they were both geeks, and they both figured it out with really hardcore data skills that I didn't have, because before that I was a wildlife tracker and wilderness survival trainer and activist in New Mexico. So I had no idea how to attack the problem from that point of view, but I was a really good tracker, and I naturally started backtracking successful sites on the web long, long ago and found that, hey, man, the ones that have the most links are the ones that get the top search engine rankings. And back then, it was really that simple. If I had 1,001 and Chuck had 1,002, he would be number one, and I would be number two. It was really that simple.
Jack, I'm going to ask a question now, because one of the things that I learned, as we learned over this show, is that you used words that are very, very part of your vernacular, right? Mm-hmm. Can you realize that, you know, you said links? Explain a link. Seriously.
So I wrote a blog post today about a wonderful blog post that Chuck did, and I linked to him. And when you click on it, you can go to his site.
Okay.
And he's
so
very
that's
happy
what
about that.
Referring
and Google
to.
Notices, yeah, and now Google thinks Chuck is more important because I linked to him. And then it just keeps doing that all over the Internet. So really, I'm going to break it down super simple tonight. It can be very complicated. That was the most complicated thing you'll have to digest.
Okay.
So yeah. So that that's where I started, and then after that I started doing consulting, a big membership site or two, some software for social media when it came out to make lives easier back then for marketers, several books and courses, and fast forward all the way to today, I'm on the show.
Yep. And we're glad you are. We're glad you are, because I want to share with the audience. I have never been. I came on the Internet about 2004 when I had my heart attack, and pretty much other than all the wonderful people I've met that have helped, kind of a self-taught person, and have had good luck with websites. And marketing is my background. I have a reputation of, in my life, we've talked about this in the past, I probably have enjoyed, regardless of what I've been involved with, an 80%+ closing ratio on anything I've been involved with that requires the sales process. And one of the reasons that works is because what we're going to be talking about the next few weeks on this show, and that is, number one, knowing your market. Number two, owning the persona of your market. And number two, provide them the information that they want. None of this has to do with what you think. You have to know what they think and where they are. So that's the basic thing there. And what has happened, the reason I left the show is I started focusing on a couple of projects with the well, one of them happens to be a friend of mine for 47 years. I had the privilege of meeting this young man. Well, he's not young now, but meeting Jim in 1970 when he left the United States Marine Corps at Camp Pendleton. I put him on my team, and he was, we were still involved, the top agent I ever had. And in fact, when I left and kind of semi-retired 40 years ago and moved to Northern California, Jim kind of took over, and his life went from that point forward. We got back together again several years ago, and with a lot of prodding and encouragement, he started writing about his fascinating life. At least it's fascinating to a lot of people. He and I may not think it's fascinating, but it's fascinating, obviously, to the market, which is what we're going to talk about. Now, Jack, we met you actually through social media, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, I think it was on
either
Facebook.
Either there or something that I mailed out. Somehow you ended up on my list.
Right.
Why you would be there, I have no idea.
I don't know either.
Kismet. It was kismet.
Yeah, but Jim and I have a website. And first of all, I want to tell everybody, we're not in the advertising business on this show. James Strauss, that's James, ends in S, the next word, Strauss starts with S, so there are two S's in the middle. James Strauss, two S's at the back, .com. This is James' main website, which allows the public to read the works of his literary genius. And I want to share with you right now that anybody that listens to this show today, tomorrow, and in the future, when you go to that website, even though these stories may seem like fiction, everything written here is based on real life experiences. And we've changed the names to protect the innocent and all that wonderful stuff. Well, Jim really wasn't interested in this. Does that make sense, Jack? I mean, you know, Jim's goal is not to write the New York Times bestseller. Neither he nor I have that motivation. But we very much believe in sharing with people stories or ideas that can impact their lives, empower themselves to be who they want to. And those of you, Joyce, you've been around a long time, that's basically what motivates me to do what I do. The results of other people's progress is more exciting than my result. You know, and
I know
what
you mean, and that's a good thing, you know.
Yeah. It goes back to our favorite I got to share with Jack and with the audience. Joyce and I met through the Master Key.
Yeah.
And the Master Key is a book that has been my Bible since 1960. It was written by the mentor to Napoleon Hill. Napoleon Hill voraciously read Charles Hennell's The Master Key. Charles Hennell has been called the father of the law of attraction. Unfortunately, the law of attraction has been bastardized by people who, for instance, put out The Secret, the movie, and things like that, which is, you know, a commercial travesty. But anyway,
right.
You're not going to bother. Joyce and I have a very strong kinship to this over the time.
Yeah.
But what is it, Jack, that you saw that we were doing wrong, and what were we doing right with jamesstrauss.com? And how does a person in SEO... Why is a person in SEO a necessary part of the team?
Well, you were doing a lot right. You were and continue to do a bang-up job on Facebook with boosted posts and advertising and things to get the material in front of your desired audience. We're doing that like gangbusters when I found you, and it's increased since then. Your presence there has increased, and that was actually doing really good for you in SEO terms, because and has continued to and has actually exponentially grown in the last month or so, because Google sees that too. They're like, wow, these guys can really engage people on Facebook, because your page is public, so Google
yes.
can spider it. And they also happen to be all over your site, because on your site you use Google Analytics,
mm-hmm.
which is giving Google the key to your kingdom in terms of knowing every single thing that happens on your site and happens as a result of you meeting people off-site and bringing them here, like from Facebook, when you put up an ad and say, hey, we
right.
just made up a blog post or something.
Right.
So... you were doing a lot of stuff right, but you could tell that you weren't focused on SEO at all.
No.
And when, you know, and you sensed something was wrong because you contacted me. You sensed something not maybe was wrong, but that could you weren't taking advantage of everything that you possibly could.
A little tweaking.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And there was some confusion in the market. So you had a site that you guys were working on for a couple of years before you got jamesstrauss.com, before you acquired the domain that most perfectly encapsulates his brand. You had jamesstraussauthor.com.
Right.
And so Google really, really liked that, because you guys were doing a bang-up job on that site with lots of content that was very engaging, that people were, you know, responding to and sharing, and all the things that Google, you know, in its now complex algorithm, uses to determine the value of any page or site on the web in terms of how it's going to rank it. And so you guys, when I met you, you were working on jamesstrauss.com. That was a new acquisition, or fairly new, and that's where you started putting 30 Days Has September and more of the deep writing stuff. And then the James Strauss author site was was everything else, more of the blogging type things, and it did have Chicken Man and all of those other things that now all reside on James Strauss. But in moving from one to the other, one was very established. It wasn't a brand yet. And a brand in Google, when you type in James Strauss, you'll see that there's things underneath his search engine position. So it also has his about page. It also has, I think it has Chicken Man for some reason, and it's totally random. Google picks that. We
yeah.
can't control that.
Yeah.
And then the next result is 30 Days Has September thing. So that's when Google has chosen you as a brand. It says, of all the James Strauss-i in the world, you're the James Straussiest. And I don't think that's exactly how Google talks,
right.
but that's how Dr. Seuss would say it.
Right.
And so all of that has been because we've done the SEO stuff, and it's in its infancy, really, in terms of what it's going to do. But it's going to balance things out, because you guys are heavily reliant on Facebook. Too much so, I would think you would agree. And you would like to have that balanced out with some organic traffic that didn't cost you money,
right.
Or, you know, and sweat and tears and stress and everything else that working with exclusively on Facebook can bring. And you sense that you deserve that because you knew that content was really, really engaging, still is. And that in all of the years that I've worked with WordPress and blogs and people who publish, authors and marketers and all kinds of different people, it's, since Facebook and Google Plus and all the other social media took off, people have stopped commenting on
right.
blogs.
Right.
And what I noticed and why I had to be in was that you guys were getting hundreds of comments on your stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, on your native WordPress stuff. Now, if anybody's a little bit advanced or knows what I'm talking about, they know right now what I said is a golden unicorn because that doesn't happen anymore. Nobody. I mean, Huffington Post just got rid of comments. That's the
right.
biggest blog on the planet.
Right.
They just got rid of it because they're like, well, nobody wants to comment
right.
here. They want to go back to Facebook and talk.
Jack?
And so when the biggest – yeah.
Before we go further on that, you know, the direction, I'd like to step back a moment, if you don't mind,
uh-huh.
and kind of let our audience today, tomorrow, and in the future bring them up. When Jim and I knew we wanted a website, obviously jamesstrauss.com was not available, which is why we started the site jamesstraussauthor.com, which is still a good name. And a couple, about a year later, the gentleman who owned jamesstrauss.com, who happens to be James Strauss in South America, he's a very worldwide accomplished flautist, for some reason he gave up his domain. And I wasn't tracking this, and Jim called me and said, I just found out that I can buy jamesstrauss.com. And I said, how much? And he told me, and it was a horse choker. And I said, we don't have a choice. You have to buy it. Now, I want to, and I know we have many people from many different backgrounds. If you are serious about your business, paying for a domain name, not the $12, that's great. But if you can't get it, and you have an opportunity to buy a domain name that is relevant to your brand, it probably, in today's marketplace, could be considered the most important investment you have. And I'm not selling domain names, so I don't want, you know, that, but I've got to share this with you because it's critical. Now, some people, their names are not, I had no problem buying, you know, ChuckBartok.com because there aren't that many in the world. So, but you know, the people with fairly James Strauss, obviously, there's a whole bunch of them. There's doctors that by that name. There's people in your, anyway, we won't go into it. If you have an opportunity to buy your brand, consider it an investment, not a cost, because it will return to you in spades. If you follow things like Jack is going to talk about some more. The other thing I want to go to Facebook, just to give our audience a little background and facts on that. James Strauss on Facebook, which is James Strauss Writer, is his Facebook fan, his page, James Strauss Author, Writer, excuse me, only has 7,800 followers. That's not a lot, is it, Jack?
Well, considering you had a 3,000 a couple of months ago,
well,
yeah.
Okay, but here's what we were doing when we had 3,000. I'm looking at a post that we made on February 13th at 10:31 p.m. It has had an organic reach of 8,830. Remember, this page only has 7,000 plus likes. What is the current, it's about 10%, Jack? 10% reach on
yeah.
organic? About 10%.
Oh. Yeah, I mean,
yeah. Normally
usually
it's
far lower.
Yeah, okay. So we're at over 100% reach organically. Now, here's why. When we started this page, we asked our readers to engage and share. That article was shared 224 times.
Wow.
So that's how we were able to have an organic reach of 8,830.
Right.
Now, 1,700 people liked the article. And 30 or 40 people commented on it. Now, going back, because this is where Jack comes in, I'm going to go to our little, I guess, analytics, huh? I got to go to analytics to get that. No, I can go right here. Hold on. I think I can go right here. Bear with me. I'm not as good as I thought I was, am I? Okay, I want to go to this little button. Because I want to share with you right now, as of right now, real time, Facebook.com, mfacebook.com, isn't that the mobile Facebook, Jack?
Yes.
Okay, has referred 184,000 people to our site. www.facebook.com has referred 28,235 people to the site. And iFacebook, which I think is that iPhone?
It's another form of the non-standard.
Okay,
yeah.
6,500, and then there's IM Facebook. Google has sent 2,018. StumbleUpon, 613. And I'm just giving you the top 10. If I went back into analytics, you would find that there are many other sites that have sent. But bear in mind, Facebook is close to 200,000 referrals. So when Jack mentioned that we're relying on Facebook, it is how we got going. Does that make sense, Jack?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, this is – oh, here's another one. 9,349 people reached organically, which was a post of the 13th. Is that what I talked about? Anyway, so now our website was – oh, here's one, 17,000. Shared 409 times, 17,000 reached organically, and 3,600 people liked the page, and 39 commented. Now, Jack mentioned about website comments. And Jack mentioned that everybody seems to think people want to communicate on Facebook primarily. Is that, did I interpret your comment correctly?
Not seems to. They do. And
okay.
I got the data to prove it.
Okay.
This is why it's so special.
Now, why? That's what we're going to be talking about. Why, ladies and gentlemen, why does a website that is publishing chapters of a book that is going to be published, other books have been, why do we have 3,666 comments and the comments are not one-liners? Some of the comments in themselves are almost blog posts. Now, here's why we brought Jack in, and I'm asking, what is it that we're doing? My simple answer, and Jack will probably intensify it, is we're putting out stuff that our market wants, and we're putting it where they want it, how they want it, and we are asking them questions. Now, here's a gentleman on 2:15. Is that today? Today is 2:15.
Yeah,
at 12:21 p.m. Pacific, I'm going to read you a comment. I'm not going to read his name. By the way, nobody is leaving links for us, okay? This is not a link thing. Here's what he said. Oh, he's responding to another commenter. This is not just – so we have engagement going on this site between commenters. Have you ever seen that?
They don't even need you.
Huh?
They don't even need you at this point.
But here's Bill talking to Jerry. Never had drums, but one time when we humped out of the bush and were put on a bridge guard, was during the monsoons, we hadn't been supplied for a few days and we were wet and tired and very hungry. By the way, I do not edit the misspelling because I don't think it's right. Had a little Vietnamese Babylon friend we were to kick them all outside our perimeter at night. And it goes on and on. And he's talking about one of his own experiences. And that's what people are sharing, is their own experience. And they're asking questions. How did you handle it? They're asking and saying, I am so happy that I realize other people feel the same way I do.
That's
so
really beautiful.
So, Jack, would you say we've created a tribe?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you could analyze this and very quickly come to the conclusion, and you'd be correct, that you've got something people want. And something in this particular instance, people have stopped talking about Vietnam in big numbers on the web. In any meaningful way that these guys were looking for, it's not that you can't find Vietnam-related discussion going on out there, but for various reasons that aren't even important to talk about here, there's a huge faction of people out there who are related to Vietnam vets, who are still alive, who are Vietnam vets, who never really glommed onto the conversation that was overall on the internet being had. And they had several issues for that. And here comes James, and he's telling something. You know, I've watched a lot of movies, I'm sure a lot of people have, that have Vietnam-related content, and I thought I knew everything about the Vietnam War. I mean, what would Scorsese leave out, right? I mean, what would those guys...
Well, he didn't have
a
clue himself.
Yeah, well, nobody really did. And there's a lot of really good reasons that people in Hollywood and all over the world don't know much about Vietnam. And that is very well explained by James, who's like, if you knew what I knew, you knew what was in my head, and you knew all of this stuff, it wouldn't be fair to tell you. And that's the way he says a lot of Vietnam vets feel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you come home and you can't get out of it. You can't do that to your children, to your relatives, and tell them what you actually saw.
No.
So you have to paint it. So who did the movie directors learn from? The people who were willing to say whatever they were willing to say, and it wasn't the whole thing. So what James has got is, although there have been what crazy amounts of discussion about the Vietnam War for vets, for PTSD and really niched down topics and everything ever since the internet started, there's been a conversation, but there hasn't been the conversation that apparently Jim is drudging up here. And luckily took such great notes about everything, you know. I mean, it's many, many years later, and he's coming out with a level of detail. I'm just quoting or paraphrasing commenters that they can't believe how accurate that was. And then they're like, man, this dude is right on. I'm going to respond. James feels like there are a lot of people who are commenting that don't go around the internet commenting on stuff. They don't hang out and do anything on Facebook other than read things and lurk a little bit.
Right.
These aren't the kind of guys that, I mean, typos are all over the place. These aren't people who really know their way around a keyboard.
No,
the
spelling's atrocious, and I'm not saying that in a derogatory way. These are are not internet trolls who spend their life, you know, doing this.
Right. These are genuine, and they want to. So here's the whole thing about Facebook and comments on websites. When I comment on your blog, Chuck, if I go to your blog and I comment there, I know a couple of things. And everybody who's been around a while knows, just the average reader knows. I am going to be seen there and maybe even engaged there by total strangers, if I'm engaged at all.
Right.
And that's because your community, I'm commenting in your community. When I go and take my stuff back to Facebook and share your blog post on Facebook, and then I go have my discussion with my friends about your content there, I'm talking to peers, people I want to get their opinions. I want to impress them with what I found. I want all those other things, all those little things. Yeah, yeah, that we all painstakingly have somewhat built in another place. And so it feels really vacant when you now go to a website when they used to be so. I mean, I had clients that get 2,000 or 3,000 comments on one blog post.
Yeah, I did too. Yeah.
And now that doesn't exist. I mean, it kind of does. We're talking about one of the sites that it does, but overall, people just they don't even try to do comments.
This does focus on SEO. Is or are the SEO engines, and there's more than just Google, are they still running through this, and is it having an impact?
They love user-generated content as much as
you
guys do, because you're making a huge ado out of something that Jim put a lot of work into, but once they get their teeth into it, they double, triple, and quadruple the size of the entire page that the whole article and their comments are on combined. And it's generating this massive amount of content that supplements the original post. Now, Google will quickly come and spider something, but you guys are moving so fast. When you get on Facebook, you've got hundreds and hundreds of people immediately coming to the
site page,
and by the time Google gets there, they are there first, and they're already commenting.
Right.
And it's just pure gold. It's like striking a vein of gold.
It's like hiring a bunch of writers, isn't it?
Yes, because Google looks at about 300 different factors in deciding how important anything is on the web in terms of where they should rank it back on their search engine. So when they're on your page, they're looking at a lot of things, but there are only a few things that really, truly, completely matter to Google.
Okay.
And one of them is engagement. And since you've got Google watching your site to give you the analytics, because that's why Google put analytics out, a lot of people are like, wow, they're really being helpful. No, Google is
not
a search engine. Google wants to know everything it can possibly know about the Internet. And the best way to do that is to put out a free statistics program that beats the pants off of every other statistics program. And they give it away for free, and they show you all kinds of stuff that's happening on your site that you would not otherwise know was going on. You really need that intel. So they gave that away, and a lot of people were like, that's great. That's so altruistic. And they, now everybody uses analytics, and now Google has a backdoor view of every single thing that goes on. So when they see that people are engaging, they see how many pages on your site they go to. They see how long they stay on the site.
Yes.
You guys are going to love this if anybody knows about this stuff, and you can go to your analytics and check out your own stats. But we've got from Google traffic, Google, this is when somebody types in Vietnam War stories or something like that, and they click on James' site, they have a stay rate of 20 minutes,
yes,
which is the average stay rate.
Yes.
For it's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm laughing, and Chuck's laughing, because we have other clients, and we're like, you're doing really good. You've got your engagement up to 2 minutes and 32 seconds.
Or your bounce rate. Talk about bounce rates.
Bounce rate is non-existent. It's like around
6.25%. 6.25% is the bounce rate for the whole site.
We've had it lower. It's been lower than that. It went up a little bit. But okay, and here's another thing that Chuck and I with other clients talk about all the time. You know what? Your bounce rate's only 50%. That's pretty good. because it is. On average, that is actually pretty good. When we get clients, they're usually up at around 80% bounce rate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like 80% of the people who hit your site from anywhere, because if you're using Google, it knows. It doesn't care if it's just coming from Google search. It knows where they came from all over the web. And wherever they came from, if they return there within 30 seconds of hitting your site, they call that a bounce.
Right.
There's nothing that can be very impactful. It's telling in that they just didn't find anything on your site interesting enough to stay past a measly 30 seconds to engage with.
Yeah.
And then Google takes that. Guess what? That's one of the 300 different ranking factors in their algorithm,
mm-hmm,
is bounce rate. And the other one is engagement, how long you get to keep people on a site. The other one is how many pages people visit when they come to the site. If it's just one, that counts against you more than somebody who's gone to 2.5 pages on average.
We are, depending on how, we're way over one. Most of our pages 2 to 3, which is good when you think about the length of the pages. The reason I'm asking these questions, and here's another statistic just for fun. On the most recent post, the 11th night third part, which was posted on 2/13. I thought I did one. What's the date today? Yeah.
15.
Well, I did it at midnight. In other words, I did it yesterday, actually, Valentine's Day. It just happened to be, it was close to, midnight.
So romantic.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. 138 comments on that post already.
Wow.
There's websites that don't have 138 comments on their whole website. Now, What I'm trying to bring this to, and Jack, you've done a good job as to the why, is that regardless of what your site is there for, why this is working is we knew what, because we asked a ton of questions to a potential market. And remember, we're basically not selling anything, okay? I mean, this is not a site you go to buy something, although people do buy books occasionally, okay? And why buy the books when every book is here for free, see? But the success is how we're handling it, and by bringing people in like Jack to help us fine-tune it. Because really the goal is to satisfy a lot of people. Now, right now, Joyce, you will like to know this. There's about 4,000 people who want to and will buy the book the day it's up in print, which should be in another 5 to 6 days. That's going to be a pretty impactful first 2 days.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, and
instant category bestseller on Amazon is
right.
What it's going to be.
Right. But here's the point. That's not why we're doing it. And I want to emphasize this. And here's why it works in market areas. Let's assume somebody is deeply dedicated to health, okay? I mean, I know that's a big generic word. If they built a website and if they shared with the right people, first of all, they have to know where the right people are. And rather than build this website primarily to sell something, but to have this website primarily to share information and to engage people, and what you use social media for is to bring them in for the engagement.
Right.
And I'm not against social media. Jack brought it up. The Huffington Post, no more comments. The reason is the so-called powers to be who truly do not understand sales. I'm serious about this. I've met enough 30-year-old marketers from these marketing groups in New York who don't know how to wipe their own butt. I'm sorry. They have ideas, and they can BS themselves through something, but their products have no sustainability. I mean, that's a blanket statement. I'll back it up next program. But I personally believe that people today, even more so, are lonely. I believe they do want to communicate. One of my clients, who's a manufacturer, this story you've heard, Joyce, when they asked me to come on board, I said, one of the first things I want you to do on the internet is to make sure that your personal phone number as CEO and owner of this company is publicly available. And his wife just about had a cat fit. That instantly increased their sales and increased their profitability and increased – he has 20,000 fan people on his 20,000 fans on his Facebook page now, okay?
Uh-huh.
And there's plenty of people that go to his website. Now, he's manufacturing product, right?
Right.
And obviously people like it. But what he did is he served a need. And people today want to engage. Where can you go? People don't want to talk to each other in elevators. They don't want to talk to each other in the checkout stand. We've talked about this in past shows. I believe the American public is hungry for engagement. Your thoughts on that, Jack, or, and Joyce?
I agree with that.
What do you think,
well,
Jack?
Well, I mean, you almost sound like it ever went away, but it never did. We're human beings, and we're very communal, and we're very, very social. We never, ever, ever stopped being such. But the tools that we like to use, that we used to like to use and no longer do, and what we're using now, it's just that social animal jumping around and finding its preferences.
Mm-hmm.
And the preference now, because so many things that people don't even know are helping to control their desire to stick around on places like Facebook and Google. Everybody does it. Everybody has really sneaky ways to make themselves way more appealing, kind of like a puffer fish.
Yeah.
It's not really that big of a fish, but he can make himself look really big.
That's right.
If he wants to. And that's what these guys have done. It's like, this is a big part of my life. I mean, I've got it set now where my phone buzzes when somebody does something significant on Facebook,
yeah,
or when I get an email or whatever. All these little subconscious triggers certainly help to turn that social animal into a social beast.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, there is a difference between the amount of socialization that we're doing, if you just equate that to talking to each other and sharing things and everything, now versus the 50s,
mm-hmm.
right? And, I mean, you had to go to the church bake sale if you're going to get any social tonight.
Right.
You know,
right.
back then, or whatever it might have been. And here, it's 24/7, and people are finding mm-hmm. it hard to get away from it. And they're not even complaining, really. They're like, well,
right.
got to check Facebook. And, you know, they could be driving a train. But, you know, that I don't think it's changed. It's just what people expect. The Internet has changed. The ways that we gather, the places we gather, what we like to gather around have definitely changed. So, you know, the fire went out, and everybody got up to go home when it was when social really started kicking in. And before that, all the websites had all the traffic. And these big, soon-to-be conglomerates couldn't stand that. It was such a waste. I had people on my site, and Chuck would have people on his site, and James would have people on his site. How inefficient. If we could get them all into one group, we could get them all buying the same stuff and paying attention to the same things, and hence social media was born, even though that's not what Zuckerberg created Facebook for
right.
in the first place. But everybody stumbled on it. Humanity stumbled on this throwing this accelerant onto the fire of our social species, and it did in a digital way that is people are going to be talking about this for hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm.
Really, literally, this is going to be archaeology is going to be as much digital as it is digging in the ground in the future.
Oh, yeah.
And this is
yeah.
digital archaeology at its finest. We're burying the bones they're going to be digging up for generations right,
right
now. But we've never not been social or sought that out. It just shifted, and I was really attached to the website model. I so was attached to it. I
well,
loved
now,
it. That's
that,
where
that's
I came
what
up.
I was. That's what I was trying to get to is that I have noticed. I noticed a change from web to social media, and you're saying, and statistics prove it, that people quote would rather be on social media than go to the website. And my mm-hmm. question would be: is it because it's easier? Or, I mean, personally, I see a lot more pure BS on social media than I do when I visit people's websites. People
well,
seem to comment on websites differently than they do on social media.
They absolutely do. And what you just said about social media is exactly the kind of thing they were saying about website experiences. You just switched the words around.
Okay.
And that was the last nail in the coffin for the vast majority of average website conversations that are happening right now. Is we sensed a lot of BS and uselessness, and there were a lot of things about it that weren't satisfying our growing need to do something more, be something more, experience more. Get more bang for our buck for the time that we were spending on the web. And so what social did is it, at the moment, gave way more bang for our buck. I could get, if every one of these little triggers, these little reward things, releases a little chemical in your brain, a reward chemical, like when you win a game or when you hear from somebody that you contacted before and you really wanted to hear back and they just now poked you on Facebook,
yeah, poke,
it doesn't
poke
even
you
happen
on Facebook,
anymore.
Right.
But those are all little tiny chemical releases. The human psychologists are going to have a heyday in 100 years. They'll still be picking apart what we're doing right now. We have no idea what we're doing exactly. But, I mean, you know, those guys just want to hook every single person that uses Facebook up to an MRI and watch this stuff. Just happen, and it will just explode on the screen what's happening in their brains. And you go to a lonely little website where somebody has written a great piece, like a really good piece. You could go to the New Yorker, you could go to big papers and stuff, and it feels lonely and
right.
quiet. And there is no noise on either thing. There's no noise on social, and there's no noise on a website. But you feel like your ears feel different because you feel like it's quiet. It feels quiet, and it is. It's not a different. It's a different thing. It's not the same. Feeling that you get in either place. And so that's where websites started to take a dive in their comments. And then that's when they started embedding Facebook comments on where their normal comments would be. And that was a thing for and a lot of people still do have that. And they wanted to bring that Facebook mojo rubbing up against their old-fashioned website. If they could get any part of that where people felt like they do on Facebook on their website, it was going to be a good thing because they saw how people were acting on Facebook.
Yeah.
And they used to act like that on our sites.
Okay.
They'd stick around for a long time. They'd read things for fun. There's a lot of factors involved with that, one of them being nobody wants to stay anywhere for very long anymore.
Uh-huh.
Anywhere.
Okay.
I mean, there's, you know, as soon as you get tired, which is a lot faster than we used to, Facebook has got something else to show you. Hey, go look at this. And before you know it, you're looking up the breeding habits of African elephants for no good reason whatsoever. You're seeing weird stuff. You go down these rabbit holes, and you realize you've been tricked. Sometime in the future, you will all realize you've been tricked. Like, what? I've spent more time here. I've been exposed to more ads. How did I even get here? And I was supposed to be somewhere an hour ago. Oh, my God. This is what it does now. And so how does a lowly website stack up to that? Well, you write content like James Strauss is doing right now. That's the only way. The content has to be so superior that now finally, when you look at just Jim's relationship to Facebook and vice versa, you can see the difference. And that is the only thing that's going to steal from the empty calories, the super sugar crisp that is social media, no content, no depth, no anything, and if you were going to combat that, what would you do? The only thing that you can do is create incredible content, not content for the sake of it, but something that people really, really want. And they forget that they're actually starting to jones about not being on Facebook. They forget that they have a habit. They forget that they're addicted to something, and they get dragged into this story that Jim's telling 20 minutes at a time. 20 minutes on a website is unheard of today.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
every single person on the Internet has got some form of horrible ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been trained to move so fast and click so fast and scroll so fast, and we're never satisfied. We can't afford to go deep in anything because
right.
that's a waste of time. I'm releasing endorphins, man.
Yeah.
I'm getting a chemical rush out of this.
Yeah.
And so to combat that, you have to do something as monumental as what is evidenced on James' site, which is hit a whole different nerve that social media can never hit.
Okay.
And that's the only actual way to combat
and
have the kind of comments on his site that he does now.
Yeah. Jack, do you see this? And obviously we're talking about an author writing things that appeal to a certain amount of people. Do you also believe that a person, I used health as an example, it could be carpentry, it could be public speaking, it could be volunteer, I mean, you know, your passion for volunteering and helping people. If you provide quality content to people, specifically people that you know are interested in this, this whole system will continue to grow in a positive direction for someone. And it may be selling a book, it may be selling tires. I've actually worked with a local tire retailer that in his own small way on a website that he doesn't really give a squat, who reads it other than people within his market area, he has a following of people that would go to him regardless because they've learned that he has shared information about automotive, you know, automobiles that has nothing to do with buying tires. I think you know what I'm trying to say, right?
Yeah.
And I think people who want to use the internet effectively have to grasp what we've just shared today, and I just got the nasty stare, guys. And I hope I didn't take up too much time, but Jack, we're going to do this again. Joyce, do you have any direct questions of Jack?
No, I'm on a learning curve here. I am familiar with SEO and what's the other one? There's another one. Search engine optimization, and then what's
help
the
her out there, Jack, because I don't know those words either.
Yeah, SEO, search engine optimization, algorithms, all kinds of stuff. But they're all I try to talk about them as, you know, if I say something weird, I'm usually trying to come up with a metaphor that helps it make sense. Because nobody's here to become an SEO expert, right? You're just trying to figure out how you can, you know, maybe make something happen on your site or happen on Google to increase. And that doesn't require you to be an SEO expert.
Right.
No, it means that, you know, a little bit of knowledge really goes a long way. And that's probably the best impact that I can make when I do these things, is because a lot of people look at that and go, they look at it like they're looking at a brain surgeon. It's like, there's no use learning a little bit about brain surgery. I'm going to kill a guy if I ever have to do that.
Right.
But this is not that, right? You can know a few things and still do no harm and, in fact, do good. So I try to make it simple and straightforward. There's not really that much to worry about. Content and links. If you're always just thinking content and links, we'll have to expand on that as to what exactly all that can mean, but that's all you really have to focus on.
Yeah.
Joyce, what are you getting back into vending or offering your advice because you have a lot of talent? What direction are you taking yourself?
Well, you know, here's where I, because I never left the New Thought Authors.
Right.
I went from, you know, Hanel to Catherine Ponder and Wallace E. Wattles.
Right.
And I recently found a fellow, his name is Art Lindell, and he is a Neville Goddard student, and he has discussions on YouTube. You know, I live on YouTube.
Right.
But he has something he started called the Metaphysical Art Theater. And I don't think it's alive anymore, but I have found two of the people that I think helped. They're in Simi Valley in California. And I'm going to be writing them both a letter and finding out, you know, where they're at with it, because one of the things that Art mentions is the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, which I want to find.
Yeah. One of your goals or you're working to the direction of getting back involved and on a public basis or still keeping it private?
In other words,
should Joyce Green be talking more to people around the world?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, my goal in life is to really, because I listen to what they say, and I understand what they say, and I'm living what they say, and my life has changed in the most wonderful way through that. And that's one of the things that Art has talked about, is it's different from knowing something and living through something.
Right.
And I think that if more people had the awarenesses that I have come upon me, we would have a much saner planet.
Okay, I'm going to wrap it up with this thought. Okay. Number one, I want you to get in touch with Jack Humphrey on Facebook or social media. The two of you are very simpatico on many areas. I know you and I know Jack, okay? You don't know each other. The other thing is, what you just said, and knowing you and your ability, you could have, quote, a place on the internet very similar to what Jim is doing, because you want to share with others that which you know, and it will come positive. You know, I'm not saying you're going to build a financial empire, but trust me, you will be compensated. You know, but that's not the reason you're going into it.
No,
see,
exactly.
That's another thing that the Jack, this sounds crazy, but, you know, and it might. I never started farming to make money. Does that make sense? I started farming because I wanted to grow food. The money always seemed to follow and chase people who do what they have a conviction of doing and do it, and do it well.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not going through the motion. Hey, guys, I do have to wrap up this first. Back to You Can Build It. I really appreciate Jack Humphrey being with us, and Joyce, of course, a delight to have you here, and good to hear from you. I am going to speak to you privately this week so I can catch up on everything.
That'll be cool.
There's a good chance we're going to be back again. I don't know if Thursdays might be better for me. I've got to check with the boss again. This was a surprise. And Jack, I really appreciate it. Of course, you and I are going to be in touch on a regular basis. And the things that you've done, again, you better tell everybody how to get in touch with you, Jack, because people listen to this next year, you know. Jack Humphrey, and the name of your company again?
BrickRoadMedia.com.
That is Brick Road, like the yellow brick road, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep.
BrickRoadMedia.com. And, of course, you can personally be found on Facebook under Jack Humphrey. That's H-U-M-P-H-R-E-Y, correct?
Yes.
Okay, very good. And I really appreciate
that. A bunch of them will pop up. Just click on the handsome one.
the one in the jungle hat, actually.
Isn't it the Google hat? I see one with a Google hat.
that might be.
I got a Google hat. I have lots of hats.
Yeah.
All right, well, you're in this picture with a Google hat, so it was good to meet you, Jack.
You too.
Yeah. You guys do have a lot in common, Jack. You'd be surprised. Anyway, thank you all very much. This is Chuck Bartok speaking to you from the banks of the swollen Sacramento River. I'm about a foot over flood stage tonight. But we do anticipate more releases out of Lake Shasta tomorrow, so we'll probably get up about 4 or 5 feet above flood stage.
Yeah.
Again,
we'll
our
keep
friends
your rubber raft ready.
Well, we don't have to worry. We're on a bluff. We're on the bluff overlooking the river. Actually, real quick, we live on what's called Squaw Hill. And the reason it had its name is the Maidus used to come down to the river to fish here, directly down through the Vina Plain. And the elderly women in the tribe that couldn't make it back up to the mountains in the summertime were left here on Squaw Hill, and they built little wickiups. But these lovely old ladies would sit on the bank and wave at the steamships coming up from San Francisco, going all the way up to Red Bluff, which is 20 miles to the north. And that's how Squaw Hill became Squaw Hill, because the squaws lived here. In fact, there's a steamship in the island right over just outside here that is buried, and we found it through, metal detectors. And someday, who knows, maybe it'll be dug up. I don't think so, but anyway. Again, Chuck Bartok from the banks of the Sacramento River. Can't ever leave quickly. Looking forward to being back on board. You can build it. Your business. Thank you, Jack Humphrey, and thank you, Joyce Green. Good night.
Thank you, Chuck.
Good night.
Hi.
Good night.